Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. We have a really exciting episode today. Noah Tishby is here. She is the big Israel advocate. She was just profiled in the New York Times, and we talked to her. Some news on the book. I am switching publishers. We did not really get along. These are things that happen. I'm not a huge fan of people editing me, so we're trying to work it out where we can keep some of the pre-sales. I don't know if we can, so you all may get refunded, and then just there'll be no other pre-sales. You just come buy the book when it's out in the spring. But we couldn't really hammer out an agreement on what I wanted. So, that's the way it is, you know, it's like, hey, who cares? So go out, we'll see you. I'll do a little book tour in the spring. We'll be out talking about the book. This is an interesting episode. Noah knows a lot about Israel. She's a fierce advocate of Israel and a staunch defender of Israel. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that will agree with her. There's a lot of people that will disagree with her. It's a very good conversation, very respectful. I appreciate her taking the time to speak with us. So without further ado, here is Noah Tishby. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. Special guest here, Noah Tishby. I pronounced that right. I became aware of you a few weeks ago when you were on your Instagram page talking about what's going on in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And I read a little bit about you. You are a very accomplished person. You worked for Benjamin Netanyahu's government.
Nope.
No?
Well, that's for very briefly, but we'll get to that in a second.
Okay. But I wasn't completely. I'm not completely wrong.
I was appointed. So I'm Israeli American. I was born and raised in Israel. I was an actress and a producer at first. I brought the first television show to the United States and treatment, sold it to HBO. It was the first television format to ever make it to Israel, to America from Israel. I have been an Israel advocate and a Jewish advocate and worked in the anti-Semitism space for a very long time. I started the first online advocacy and rapid response organization in 2011. And in last year, I was appointed by Yair Lapid, actually, to be Israel's first special envoy for combating anti-Semitism and delegitimization. And I worked for the Lapid-Bennett government, which was the quote-unquote the good government in terms of the American kind of left and progressives. And then the new government got in, which is much more right-wing and much more religious. And I still said I wanted to continue working because I feel like the space of anti-Semitism is more important than any politics. And then I criticized the attempt in a judicial overhaul in Israel and was relieved from my position. So I can say that I worked for the Netanyahu government for a couple of months.
Briefly.
Very briefly.
And you were dismissed.
I was dismissed, yeah.
So you were a critic of the right-wing, what you felt was right-wing overreach of the Netanyahu government.
Yeah, which is the perfect example of how you can criticize Israeli government policies while acknowledging that Israel has the right to exist as a Jewish state, which is what we are actually here to discuss.
Right. In your estimation, what has the media gotten wrong about the narrative about what has happened since the Hamas attack?
Oh, the question is, what did the media get wrong in the past like 25 years or even more? So first of all, let's go back for a second. On October 7th, Israel was invaded, not by like a couple of cute terrorists, which is when we say a terrorist attack, you kind of think, you know, 5, 6, 10, 19, like we had here in September 11th. What people need to understand is that Israel was invaded by nearly 3,000 terrorists, give or take. So it's a battalion. It's essentially a military that attacked Israel from the south, broke the border down, and invaded cities and towns and kibbutzim with the clear orders to murder, slaughter, rape, torture, and kidnap as many people as they possibly can. The stories, the photos, the videos that are coming out of it. So they not only did they create, like they caused the greatest slaughter and massacre on the Jewish people since the Holocaust in one day. So 1,500 now people, men, women, and children were slaughtered that day. The level of barbarism and sadism is beyond the pale, and they filmed it. So their intention was to show the world and the Jewish community what it is that they're capable and willing to do. I can't, there's the beheading of babies, the burning of families up alive. There was a, I'm sorry to be graphic, but I'm just going to have to be. There was a 30-year-old woman who was pregnant. They sliced her belly open. They pulled out the fetus and they beheaded that fetus such that they literally, I mean,
it's inhuman and barbaric.
Torturing families next to the children. It's unbelievable.
Right.
Right. And this is something that Israel's been dealing with in a very small scale for a very long time. So there's this culture of radical Islam, radical Islamic Nazism, basically, that is not interested in what we in the West think that they're interested in. So what they're not interested in is a two-state solution. What they're not interested in is living peacefully side by side. What they're not interested in, anything that we hold dear as our Western values. And this is one of the things that I've been trying to warn against for a very long time, and a lot of us has. Because you think that you can, the American, specifically like the left, right, is creating some sort of a projection. They're projecting their values on the region. And they're saying, oh, well, certainly everybody just wants to live in peace. Like, right. Certainly every mother just wants the children to grow up and have a great future. And as a liberal living in America, when I moved from Israel to here, it was very challenging for me to see that a lot of people don't get that. They don't get that. No, not everybody has the same culture. So,
but this is also for many years.
No, to answer your question about the media.
Yeah,
I wrote a book a couple of years ago. It came out, and it's called Israel: A Simple Guide to the Most Misunderstood Country on Earth. And the reason I wrote that book is because I realized that there's no book that tells the story of Israel in a way that's easy to understand. That's like fun. That's funny. God forbid, right?
Right.
And I literally wrote that book because the media was getting Israel wrong all the time. And that is, I mean, the book is selling again really well, and people are finding it now because everything that's happening right now, including the media, including universities, including all of it, is written in the book because it's been something that I've been working on for a long time. There has been and is an anti-Israel media bias that, as an Israeli and an American Jew, right, is kind of funny when people keep blaming the Jews for having a media cabal.
Well, aren't there a lot of Jews that work in the media?
A lot of Jews working in a field doesn't equate control of the field.
No, for sure.
So here's where anti-Semitism jumps in, which is anti-Semitism is anti-Jewish racism. It's where you have this subconscious bias against the other, a people, right? Blacks and Asians and whatever. You're kind of like suspicious about them.
Gotcha.
With anti-Semitism, it's not simple racism. So it's not, you don't just look down at something or someone, you look up at them a little bit. So anti-Semitism in essence is a shape-shifting conspiracy theory. And the conspiracy theory sounds like, yeah, these fucking Jews, they control everything.
Right.
Right? So when you think to yourself, for real, that the Jews control everything, and a lot of your viewers and listeners right now are like, well, don't they? That is a conspiracy theory. And that is what allows later on for your opinions to be about Israel to be completely skewed.
Right.
So if you think that the Jews control everything, then of course Israel is the big bad wolf because like the Jews control everything.
Right.
And we're sitting there going, we are the worst fucking cabal in the world. Now, it was very funny to some extent, but now it's not funny anymore.
Well, no, for sure. But is there a space, like you said, to be critical of maybe the settler program?
Sure, or you can
the expansionism of, moving.
Tim, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You can be a Republican, a Democrat, a Libertarian, it doesn't matter what, right?
Yeah.
None of us love the policies of putting kids in cages, right? In the border.
Right.
Nobody.
Well, it was liberal Jews have been the ones who've advocated on behalf of having a lot of immigration.
Wait. Pause for a second. Yeah. Wait just a second. Right. Nobody is for any, there are policies in America that we don't love, right?
Sure.
Nobody's talking about dismantling America.
Right, but I don't think any serious people are talking about dismantling
Israel.
You
think so? Are you seeing what's happening in colleges? I literally had the same argument with Bill Maher, and he's like, no. And I'm
the
like,
colleges
yes.
have gone insane.
But that's the young American minds that are going around and saying from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
Right.
And they're saying something like this, and this is something that I've noticed like 10 years ago, right? The conversation about Israel in certain circles turned from policies, Bibi Netanyahu, yes or no, settlements, yes or no, policies, which is totally legit to have a conversation about. There's something that sounded like this, right? Yeah, but like, is Israel a real state though? Or is it like a colonialist settler's endeavor that needs to be dismantled? And that is something that it can't, we can't allow to happen. Israel's the only country that you have a debate on whether or not it should exist. It's insane.
I don't know of any serious person that I know of that has said Israel doesn't have a right to exist.
You're absolutely right. Because the normal people that actually have education know this, but you watch the ones that are ripping the posters of the kidnapped kids.
But these are also the people that tell us there's 1,500 genders and I have to learn a new language to talk to them. How's everyone enjoying this episode? Are you enjoying the episode? Don't be angry about whatever you're angry about. People lose their hair. This is something that happens. We know this. In a war zone or not, they lose their hair. Sucks. I lost all of my hair, and then I used something called Keeps, and it all came back. Well, no, but seriously, a lot of my friends have lost their hair, and they've been able to, they had great success with this product. 2 out of 3 men are going to experience some form of hair loss by the time they're 35. More than 50 million men in the U.S. suffer from male pattern baldness. So there's something called Keeps, okay? It is an expert-recommended hair loss treatment. It has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors. You get the quality expert care without ever visiting a doctor's office or a pharmacy. Easily subscribe to Keeps and get refill reminders so you'll never run low on the products you need to take care of your hair. 24/7 care and support. Low cost. It's cheap. But it's good. Whether you're looking to prevent hair loss, stimulate hair growth, or just take better care of the hair you have, Keeps has you covered. Remember, prevention is key. You want to stop the hair from being lost. Preempt. Preemptively strike. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to KEEPS.com/Tim Dillon. To receive your first month of treatment for free. And this is great. If you want to do this, it really helps the show out to go here and use this. Not only does it work, but it helps keep everybody happy with us over at the Keeps brand. KEEPS.com/Tim Dillon to get your first month free. KEEPS.com/Tim Dillon. Jewish people historically voted for Democrats.
Still do.
And the Democrats have been very pro-immigration.
Okay.
And recently there have been a lot of, protests happening, not only in America, but in places like Australia, where they yelled gas the Jews outside of the Sydney Jews. Opera House. So what's
By the way, just so you're clear, it's a massacre that occurred in the Jewish people that people on the left are asking for more massacre.
Why are Jewish people so devoted to the Democratic Party when the Democratic Party says we're going to bring every culture into America, no matter what their feeling is towards Jews or what their values are or whether they like Western culture or not? Why have the Jewish people historically been so pro-Democrat?
Well, I can't answer to immigration specifically because everybody knows from the Democrats or Republicans, everybody knows that we need to have some sort of an immigration reform. There's no question about that. Wow. Although I got to say that saying that there's no immigration system that's based on merit is also insane because I came into the country based on an immigration system that's based on merit. I had to prove that I was, it's called extraordinary in this field. Okay. That's how I got my citizenship, which I'm a very proud American too. So,
I do think that, do you think it's a little far though to, I understand, listen, college kids are nuts. Do you think it's a good idea when you have the CEOs of companies coming out and going, I want a list of all the college kids who went to the protest. I want a list of everybody who signed this letter to the Harvard Crimson
or
whatever.
Can I tell you something?
Because it does seem like it's a
cabal
little
behavior.
Well, it does seem overly paranoid and it does seem like I completely understand where it comes from, but I don't think it's the right course of action to take because it feels, again, it feeds into the idea
of a cabal, of a control, of a...
Yeah, it's people going, I want to know everybody who's ever disagreed with me, and if a dumb kid is 19 and goes to a protest, should they never get a job, or should they be blacklisted?
I got to tell you, all I'm for is equal opportunity.
Okay.
And what we have seen as the Jewish community in the past, few years, right, is that every marginalized community is getting protected, is getting, people are sensitive about it. There's no microaggressions towards any other marginalized community. Everybody's very sensitive. But when it comes to the Jewish community, when it comes to Israel, which is protected under Title VI, right, of the Human Rights, of the Civil Rights Act, right? all bets are off. So right now what's happening is the pendulum is going to the other direction. Look, am I for any kind of naming names? I'm absolutely not. But if somebody said something racist or xenophobic or misogynistic, they're going to get repercussions. And up until now, if somebody said anything anti-Semitic, there were no repercussions. So I'm all for equal opportunity. If you're doing this for any other minority, you do that for the Jews as well. Because let's just, do you know how many Jews there are in the world? What the percentage of Jews in the world?
Me?
Yeah.
Do I know how many Jews?
Yeah, you have to know. You don't?
I would say it's 10% of
10% of the population.
That would
be the world population?
Maybe 3%. I grew up in Long Island, and now I live in Beverly Hills. Okay. So my answer when somebody says, how many Jews are, it's always too many. Because I come from Long Island.
The percentage of Jews in the world
is
0.18.
That's wild.
There are, okay, let me say this.
That's very few.
14.9 or 15.1, depend on who you're count or what you're counting, million Jews in the world. So let's just go 15, right?
Right, that's it, wow.
That's it.
It's less than the population of LA.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it in the entire universe.
And Israel's the only Jewish state.
Israel's the only Jewish state. There are 21 Arab states. Give us a fucking break. That's what we've been saying. We're like, relax on this. We are a minority. We are a marginalized
community. Is it okay
to
look at the context of it? Like, I fully think that the Hamas attack was barbaric and that Israel has a right to defend itself. That's 100% the case.
Does Israel have the right to exist?
I believe so.
Great. Then, by the way, to your viewers, you're a Zionist.
Well, I don't know. Well, but here's the thing I will say.
You're just afraid
Israel
of that word.
Has to also...
Hang on. Let's just talk about that word for a second. Because that word was taken away from us to mean something different.
But they won't let me host a daily show.
Why?
I don't know. But if they do, I'll be a Zionist. But
what
they won't.
What does that have to do with anything?
They won't even give me a test.
How now? How come?
What?
Why not?
I don't know.
What does that have to do
go
with being a Zionist?
Go talk to the cabal. No, I'm kidding.
Talk to the cabal.
I mean, but
tell you one more thing? I've been saying this for like 2 years. I've been joking. I'm like, they keep saying we have a cabal. May as well start acting like
we
fucking do.
But the thing is, the thing about being a Zionist is like, I'm not an evangelical Christian because I'm not going out there being like, you believe in Jesus. To me, Zionism is like this weird evangelism where it's like you're going out and telling people all the time. Isn't that what it kind of is?
Absolutely not. But I love that we're having this conversation.
Well, I didn't know what it is.
I've noticed in the past like decade or so that people are saying Zionism as if it's like some sort of an evil. Zionism is the Jewish people's right for a state. That's it.
Okay.
That's all it is. In a little bit more kind of elaborated
but
way.
But is inherent in that the Jewish people's right for the state to be wherever Israel wants it to be and wherever the borders
absolutely
are?
Absolutely not. Zionism is a movement for Jewish liberation and self-determination in some parts of their ancestral land in a Jewish, not an exclusively Jewish state. So it was never supposed to be an exclusively Jewish.
But it is pretty much an ethno state now.
No, it isn't. They're 21% of Arab Israelis, Palestinian living within Israel.
But they're Jewish.
They're Muslims and Christians.
And they have full voting rights.
Full voting rights. That's the other bullshit.
Well, I'm just saying what's out there.
You're amazing. That's why I'm coming on the show.
What's out there.
Listen, I'm coming on a comedy show in the middle of a war. So obviously it's important, right?
Right.
You know, and I'm not making light of anything.
No,
right?
Of course.
Israel is the only country in the Middle East where Christian population is growing.
Okay.
Israel is not an apartheid state. That was something that has been the populate people are going to be watching this right now and their mind's going to go kapoof. By the way, I told you this before, but get ready for a lot of hate.
Well, listen, the reality is when people come on, I let them say what they're going to say because this is...
But
this,
I love... You got to push back on me.
I am pushing back a little bit, but... I believe in the ability of anybody to go and speak freely.
Yes.
And that's what I've always believed. That's what I've built my career on.
So let me go back to the
apartheid. There's people that are not agreeing with you and there's people that are agreeing with you.
Let me go back to the apartheid state because your viewers and listeners are going to freak out right now, okay?
Right.
Within the Green Line, within the state of Israel, what is the state of Israel? There are equal rights, one person, one vote. There are Arab Muslims on the Supreme Court bench. There's a Supreme Court judge who's an Arab. A Supreme Court judge has sentenced the former president of Israel to jail. There are 21.8% of doctors and nurses in Israel are Arabs. Arab Israelis have the same rights as Jews. Okay? Now, Gaza is not even occupied by Israel at all.
Right.
So Gaza was supposed to be Palestine, number one. The West Bank is a military control on hold, being waiting to negotiate some sort of a peace with the Palestinians. So when you talk about Israel as an apartheid state, you are 100% wrong. If you want to talk about what's happening in the West Bank, that's a whole other conversation.
Well, the people in Gaza cannot leave.
Well, of course they can't leave.
Right.
Because Hamas is not letting them out even through Rafah, through Egypt.
Right, but they're living in this place that is kind of like a prison.
100%.
They're existing in these horrible conditions.
100%.
Israel has limited the type of supplies that can go in there historically.
Why? You know why?
I don't.
Because for years we've been saying that Hamas is taking the supply to build tunnels, to arm, and look at what happened.
Yeah.
You know, right now that they found out the Hamas is holding gasoline, not giving it to the population,
right,
not letting them leave.
Didn't Israel fund Hamas, and didn't they want Hamas instead of the PLO because Hamas was more extreme and easier to delegitimize, whereas the PLO was pushing for a two-state solution? Has Israel always been interested in a two-state solution, or is their support of Hamas signaling that they actually don't want a two-state solution? They'd rather this crazy terrorist group controlling Gaza so that they never have to have a two-state solution.
A lot to unpack there. So Israel, along with Hamas, with Qatar, with the U.S., everybody kind of fell into Hamas pretend game. So Hamas in their charter is very clear, and I talk about this in my book, that what they're after is destroying the Jewish state, jihad on all the Jews, slaughter all the Jews except for the ones that are hiding behind the Jewish tree, and then the tree and the stone are going to say, oh, there's a Jew behind me. Like, it's ridiculous. It's a joke. It's like a joke, their charter. But that's what they're after. In recent years, they've been playing a game of like, no, you can work with us. It's fine. We'll be okay. And Israel mistook this, like literally made the mistake of thinking that they actually want to rule the Palestinians, that they're actually interested in some sort of a normality. And they were not. This was a ploy in order to destroy Israel. And what they did in the process is sacrifice Gaza.
Did Hamas believe they could destroy Israel?
A plan.
But they, Israel has so much military supremacy.
That's
it seems
true. But they
odd
did a very,
Hamas would
they
believe
did a
they could
very,
destroy them.
First of all, they slaughtered 1,500 Israelis and mutilated bodies and raped women. So to them, this is a big win. Right?
Yeah, and it's incredible they were able to do that.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
And is there a massive investigation in Israel now
massive
as to how that happened?
Look, the military, everybody woke up. The military is like this, it's on the offense. It's everybody woke up. This was a very, 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 very well planned operation. I said this from the beginning. I'm like, yeah, Hamas, they put a good effort. They put a really good effort. Good for them. But you know who else put a good effort in destroying the Jews?
Germany.
Exactly.
Right.
The Nazis also put a good fucking effort. And you know who else? In the Inquisition days, they also put a good effort. So every few years, some evil shit people try to put a good effort to exterminate the Jews, and it never in the long term works. But this was a big thing. And also remember, this is Israel and Hamas and the whole region. Hamas is a pawn of Iran, and Iran sacrificed
Hamas.
When people Hamas,
say though, that Israel funded Hamas, what are they talking
that's
about?
That's bullshit. Israel funded Hamas. It was like Israel allowed Hamas through Qatar to get money because they thought they're going to rule Gaza because there are 2 million people there, and Israel is trying to help them to rule these people. And honestly, it's not the responsibility
you don't
of
think
Egypt,
any of it was
of
it
Israel
that
anymore.
Israel might have known just the same way that we funded the Soviets against, we funded Al-Qaeda against the Soviets.
Yeah.
Is there any part of Israel thinking when they're allowing Hamas or to get money or funding Hamas, are they going like, we would rather the representatives of Palestinians be these crazy terrorists instead of like legitimate people?
It's very, look, there were elections and Hamas won.
Right.
So Israel was given two entities. Kind of going, could you guys unite into one? Look, at the establishment of Israel, there was the Haganah, the Etzel, and the Lehi. There were three separate kind of entities in the Yeshuv, in the Jewish Yeshuv, that were kind of like militant in their ways and trying to build a state in their ways. And David Ben-Gurion, as soon as the state was funded, he's like, done with everything, enough with all of this. Everybody underneath the IDF, everybody underneath one government, one voice, one Jewish people, because the commitment of the Jewish people was always to have a state. It wasn't to destroy anybody else. And Hamas's commitment is destroying the Jews.
Right.
They are not interested.
Hamas is insane, and we know that.
And they've put the entire Arab world now in trouble because this is also Iran sacrificed them. Basically, they are Sunni.
Slavo Žižek he came out and he said, listen, the attack is barbaric. Israel has a right to defend themselves. He goes, let me. But he also said, there does seem to be a knee-jerk reaction where we can't look at context, and context never justifies anything, right?
Yeah.
But there's the context of where this comes from.
Yeah, I disagree with this vehemently.
Well, okay, but I'm just saying what's out there.
That's why I'm here. I understand when you talk about context, when you talk about people from Ramallah protesting peacefully and saying, let's build NGOs and let's build a government. That's okay, because what they're after is what the Jewish Yeshuv was after, which is a state. They're after building something for themselves.
Sure.
Hamas is just not interested in that.
So I don't think Hamas is interested in that.
So I agree with you. There's no context.
But I think the context is not, it's that there's 2 million Palestinians that are not necessarily in Hamas,
That's the excuse is the occupation, quote unquote. But again, there's no occupation in Gaza. This could have been Singapore.
Israel has left Gaza, but the settlements, the Israeli settlements that are being built.
Where?
Golan Heights, a bunch of places, right?
Golan Heights is a done deal.
But the whole idea is that the UN has been roundly critical of Israeli settlement.
You're talking
building.
About the West Bank. You're not talking about Gaza, because there are no settlements in Gaza. By the way, when Israel left Gaza, unilaterally pulled out of Gaza in 2005,
yes.
We left houses and greenhouses and farms, and we left everything. And
you know what Hamas did with them? Yeah.
They burned them down.
Because when we hear about Palestinians going, hi, I'm being evicted from my home. I have this deed that says I've owned this home. I'm being evicted from it.
We're talking about Hawara.
We're talking about all that stuff, right?
Let's be specific. I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. This is what Israel's criticized for throughout the world. And listen, I'd rather live in Israel. It's much nicer. It's more progressive. We know that.
You know who else prefers to live in Israel?
Gays, women, everybody.
86% of Arab Israelis say that they do not wish to live in a Palestinian state should one get
theocracy
created.
Is never the form of government that
of
I
Arab
choose.
Israeli Palestinians prefer to stay living in Israel than live in a Palestinian state should one get
created. But the issue of settlements, the issue of the expansionist nature of the state of Israel, is this something that... Is there anything that you concede? Do you go, we've made mistakes or things have happened that shouldn't have happened?
Absolutely. Okay. Again, you know why? Because Israel is the country and countries make mistakes.
That's right. Not America. Not us.
Again, by the way, what they're trying to do, all these protest movements right now that are yelling and screaming about the occupation. They're not talking about occupation 67, which is the West Bank and the settlement.
They're talking about the whole thing.
Exactly.
They're talking about occupation 1948.
They're trying to relitigate the war of 1948 that Israel didn't start and won.
Right
after the Holocaust. Okay. Right. So that's number one. In terms of the settlement, when you read my book, you understand exactly where I stand politically. Do I think the settlements are great? No. Do I think that they're a red herring? Fuck yeah.
Okay.
Because you're talking about expansionism. Okay?
Right.
And you still have to understand that even in the West Bank, which is a disputed state, it's still under military control. It never was annexed by Israel, not even under the right-wing government. So everybody's aware that that is kind of like a limbo area, right? 90% of the Palestinians live under Palestinian rule at the areas A and B, right? And in terms of numbers, it's not that expansionism when there are about 495,000 Jews there and 2.9 million Arabs. So it's not that expansionism. It's just that every time you hear about this deed, you kind of go, a deed, right? And people don't understand. Americans are kind of like, what's with that deed? And it's terrible.
Israelis are kicking people out of their homes. If somebody was living in a place that they owned and they had proof of ownership.
Well, do they though?
I've seen things where they've had deeds saying they own the house. But even if they didn't have deeds, the idea that you can just go and evict somebody from a house and make them homeless... That is seen as a war crime and violation of international law.
It's 100% horrible. But again, when you're talking about Hawara specifically, is a land dispute. It's an ownership dispute.
There are two groups that are
pretty extreme in their positions, and they're trying to duke it out. And they know that this is going to cause international uproar. And again, I'm not even talking in this conversation and the conversations that we're having right now, because remember, there's a war going on in Israel right now.
Right.
I'm not even talking about who did what and what the land. This has nothing to do with it. This is about people that want to exterminate Jews, period.
I was just saying that
all of this murkiness.
This has been unending for a long time. As long as I've grown up, we've always heard about violence in the Middle East, two-state solution, getting close, never quite getting
there. And why are we never getting there?
I would say that the deal hasn't been made.
Why wasn't it made?
I don't know. We got very close. Right? Didn't we get very close with Clinton under Yasser Arafat? We got very close.
Yasser Arafat was on the plane in order to sign the deal. He received 96% of everything that he got, and he landed in D.C. and decided to, in Camp David, and said, I'm not signing. So when you look historically at what happened with Israelis in Palestine, and again, I come from a liberal household, like a very progressive household, actually, right?
Right.
So when you look at the history of this, and you see how many times Israel offered a Palestinian state, and how many times it was rejected, and you realize that the Palestinians, as a national movement, have practiced rejectionism. And you kind of go, well, what do they want then? And you go, oh, well, here's the thing. If the Palestinian as a national movement, first of all, need to be called out to be a bit more responsible. That's number one. And number two, if the Palestinians would have actually been interested in a two-state solution, I'm sure that conversation could have been had.
Is it a specific piece of land that they are refusing? Is the two-state solution, is it just that they don't want Israel to exist? Is that the whole?
I'm not saying they, because it's not everyone.
It's a certain sect of people.
But if you say from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
Then it means no Israel.
That means exterminating and ethnically cleansing the Jews from their ancestral land, from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. And we saw what that looks like. That looks like
it's a pogrom.
A pogrom, exactly.
It's a pogrom. Yeah, no, for sure. Israel right now preparing a ground incursion into Gaza, potentially. Thomas Friedman, writer at the New York Times, other people who are traditionally, historically pro-Israel feel like it might be a trap. It might be a quagmire. It's similar to Iraq.
It's always a very quagmire in the Middle East.
Very densely populated urban warfare. What is the end game there? I mean, I think there's something about 8 or 10,000 Palestinian civilians supposedly have been killed, according to the ministry there. I don't know.
Which I will take with a grain of salt, and I'll hurt for every child who is uninvolved.
Yes. I mean, there's a ton of innocent Palestinians who've died, just like a ton of innocent Israelis who've died.
Don't argue that. It's horrible, by the way. But again, the difference is the intentionality of breaking into people's homes and slaughtering and mutilating them.
I will agree with you.
Collateral damage of war, which is horrible.
Right, but when you are flattening and leveling whole sections of a city, you are aware also that you're going to kill civilians. I mean, this is true.
Listen, nobody is for war.
Right.
And again, Iran, by training Hamas the way that they did and arming them and paying them and creating this entire kind of entity, has basically sacrificed Gaza. Because this operation, everybody that's involved that planned it and executed that knew the price that Gaza is going to pay. There's no other choice.
When Israel says,
and by the way, when 9/11 happened, we didn't know where the terrorists were.
I think,
and we know where they are now.
We've made a lot of mistakes since 9/11.
Exactly.
And I think there's a lot of
were.
Advocates of Israel that say they wouldn't want Israel to go down the same path that the United States went down, where we got into unwinnable wars, spent trillions of dollars.
We left Gaza for a reason.
Committed human rights abuses.
We didn't want to be in there. Yeah. We didn't want to be in there. Right. We were like, here you go. Here are the keys. Go build yourself a home. Build a state.
Does any part of this ground offensive concern you in terms of the objectives and what the reality of it is and what would be considered a victory?
It concerns me very much also from personal level, on a personal level, because I know people who will be operating this ethereal ground operation. So I'm very personally invested in it. There is no other option other than to eliminate Hamas. There is just no other option.
What does
option.
That look like?
It's a good question. We don't know, but I'm sure the United States and Europe and normal countries will have to help the Palestinians make good choices for themselves too.
When Israel tells the Palestinians leave this area or evacuate, because they don't really have anywhere to go, is that somewhat disingenuous?
They do have places to go. Hamas doesn't let them go. It's not. This is horrible, Tim. I'm not here to defend war in any level.
But these are the questions that people are asking.
Sure,
It's not simply, these are the questions that people are asking, and these are questions that I think people are concerned about. They're concerned about, does this increase anti-Semitism throughout the world? Does it make Israel less safe?
Here's the thing. So Israel gave Gaza 2 days warning, okay?
Right.
Hamas didn't give Israel 2 minutes.
No, Hamas is a barbaric terrorist organization. So we can't compare the government. You know, we're trying not to. We don't want to get into that moral equivalence, right?
Right, because they're isn't.
Hamas, there is no moral equivalence there. So
and
we're not
the sad
even,
part about it, I don't know if you've seen, there are photos of Hamas blocking civilian cars, not letting them evacuate. This is not a good thing, but have you seen the recent reports about the Shifa hospital?
Okay, so that is the hospital that we claimed that an Israeli missile hit or airstrike.
There are two stories about the hospital, about two different hospitals. Hospital number one is the airstrike that happened last week, that immediately there was a push notification on every news magazine.
Israel bombed the hospital.
Israel bombed the hospital, and 500 people died within a second. So, of course, we're all like, oh, my God, Israel does not fucking bomb hospitals. And then you look back and you realize it was a misfailed, mislaunched rocket of Islamic Jihad that landed in a parking garage. And BBC still has the tweet that says that Israel did it. Still up,
well, there
right?
Is, there
That's
are,
number one, but hang on. The other thing is that they just revealed yesterday that Hamas headquarters is located underneath the biggest hospital in Gaza,
well,
Shifa
get,
Hospital.
Right.
40,000 displaced people are there, and there's a Hamas terrorist that they interrogated that's speaking, all the visuals are online, of saying, yeah, we place our headquarters underneath hospitals and
but
clinics because we know Israel's not going to bomb there. Yes.
That's what they do. But, yes. But Israel, I imagine, has had to bomb schools and hospitals to
Never
get Hamas.
Bombed schools and hospitals.
Never?
Never bombed schools and hospitals.
I mean,
never
I believe you, but I had Barry Weiss on the show going, we have to bomb schools
and
hospitals.
We have to bomb when they're clean and clear. Israel's never going to bomb a hospital when there are people there.
Right. So
but
we
now
make
there's
sure
a
they're
headquarter
emptied out.
It's a big problem.
Sure.
It's a big problem. And here's the thing. Israel never started a war.
Right.
Hamas always broke ceasefires. Israel always had to win a war because the only one Jewish state. Like, that's the reality. Israel wants peace. I know it's hard for people to understand because they're like, Israel's the big bad wolf. But like,
I don't think it's people that are saying Israel's a big bad wolf. I think people are looking at the situation and going, what happened to Israel was terrible. What happened on 9/11 was terrible. The United States after 9/11 went out and did a lot of things that probably made us less safe.
We went to the wrong country.
Certainly in the short term. And,
we went to the wrong
and
place.
And hurt our credibility worldwide.
Sure.
Guantanamo Bay, these underground torture prisons, you know, not following the Geneva Conventions, these unilateral wars that enriched, you know, maybe defense contractors, but didn't make, sent a wave of refugees throughout Europe.
Sure.
Destabilized the political situation in Europe. All of that kind of starting after 9/11, I think there's a concern that Israel, in its very understandable anger in this situation, could end up doing things that are unwise.
100%.
Yeah.
The difference is we didn't know where the terrorists are coming from.
Right.
And here we know exactly where they're at.
What does a post-Hamas Gaza look like?
I hope it's a flourishing, beautiful Singapore.
Ever get the feeling that somebody's watching you? Like there's somebody else in the room? Now, I know you're probably thinking, ooh, it's spooky Halloween time. You're just being paranoid. But this is actually real. Every single day, there's actually somebody watching your every move. The worst part is you're even paying them to spy on you. That someone is your internet service provider. The company you pay for your internet? Every website you visited late at night? What are they trying to say? How much time you've spent on each? They're keeping tabs on you. And that's why I use ExpressVPN. If you are using the internet at all, ExpressVPN is an app that allows you to, what it does is it scrambles the information, your router. People cannot identify. These companies, these data harvesting, data mining operations cannot harvest your data. Hackers cannot steal your information. How many of us bank on our phone? How many of us have personal information on our phone? See, in the U.S., internet service providers are legally allowed to sell all of your users' browsing activity to advertisers. It's not just them. Your network admin, whether that's your school, workplace, parents, or whatever, can see everything you click on. That can be kind of hard to explain. But with ExpressVPN, 100% of your traffic is rerouted through their encrypted servers, so nobody can see a thing. And my favorite part is ExpressVPN is literally so simple to use. You can just open up the app, tap on the big button, and that's it. ExpressVPN works on all your devices, whether you browse the internet on your phone, tablet, computer, so you can use up to 5 devices at the same time under one ExpressVPN subscription. Stop letting people invade your privacy. Right now, get 3 extra months of ExpressVPN for free when you go to expressvpn.com/Tim Dillon. That's expressvpn.com/Tim Dillon. ExpressVPN.com/Tim Dillon to learn more. Singapore is lovely because the cane does work because you need a little something. You do. You need a little something.
I hope they turn Palestine into a flourishing country side by side safely with Israel.
Saudi Arabia and Israel were about to normalize relations.
And that's
was a big plan for MBS, the new Middle East, the birthplace of Islam, recognizing Israel's right to exist.
Yep.
Do you think that Hamas chose to act when they did to destroy that plan?
Yes. Yeah. I think Iran did. Because
Iran and Saudi Arabia don't really get along.
They don't. It's Sunnis and Shiites. They're arch enemies, bigger enemies than Israel. So they're using Hamas. So Iran is basically using Hamas. Hamas is also Sunni, right?
Right.
So they're using Hamas. They're sacrificing Hamas in order to start a war with Israel. So the Sunni population in Saudi Arabia would be like, whoa, no. We don't want peace with Israel. It's very important. This bond between Saudi Arabia, Israel, the United States is very important in order to alienate Iran and Russia and all the bad actors in the world. Right? Everybody knows.
Yes, but I also believe China can play a very constructive role in this.
Will they, though?
I believe they could.
Of course they could, but
will they? And I believe that, listen, we could say bad actors and good actors, and I would agree with you probably on some of those things, for sure. But I also think that we have to, in order to avoid a larger war and more bloodshed, we have to enfranchise countries like China to play a productive role. Hopefully.
I'm all for it.
You know?
All for
it. And I think China would want to. My godson is Chinese, and although he has choice words about Taiwan, he's 3, but he still, I think, can play a constructive role. You living in California, you live in a multi-ethnic place. I live in a multi-ethnic place. You come in contact with people from all over the world. Mm-hmm. Do you have very interesting discussions, debates? I mean...
Very interesting.
Right.
About this time. Look, it's
because
right now.
Because you are now, you have become the focal point of this campaign as somebody who's an advocate for Israel in the media.
Yeah.
And I imagine that there are people that.
Not working for the Israeli government by in any way. Or
no, you're just, you're
coordinated
out there.
With them. Don't,
this is your
nothing.
Homeland. It's who you identify with. You're an Israeli person.
It's not just that. It's that Israel is the only country in the region that shares our values for real. It's the only true ally that we have over there. It's the stabilizing force
in the region.
For
sure, but America has backed Saudi Arabia, and they have never shared our values, and America's been very cozy with them. So Iran also was going to be a progressive country before the coup that was sponsored by the British government, the American government, and their intelligence agencies.
A lot of mistakes were made in
history. Of mistakes were made. So I agree with you. I think there's a lot of backwards, countries in the Middle East that are incredibly oppressive. And unfortunately, if you look back at the history of who propped up some of those leaders, it does lead
of
back.
Of course.
You know.
Let me just say one word about Saudi Arabia, and just for people that I know that have been there recently.
Yeah.
MBS is trying.
1,000%.
Actually trying.
And people say
that it's palatable on the street, that you see a difference.
Yeah,
I'm hopeful.
So. I'm a big fan of Saudi Arabia. Again, I live in Beverly Hills. They never had a vax mandate or a mask mandate. I felt like, it was, living in a place that, was really cool. And I'm a big fan of that kind of Persian aesthetic of being, not that Saudis are Persians, but like that kind of very loud.
All for the Persian
that
aesthetic.
Loud Arab.
Not under the Ayatollahs, though.
I drive a Bentley. I believe in that. That's the culture I believe in. I'm going to buy Trevor Noah's Rolls Royce, hopefully. I believe in their culture. I believe in that culture of not only having it, but showing it.
Dude, I drive a Prius. I'm like, literally,
I know. Well,
I'm the most.
What are you producing? In treatment? Of course you drive a Prius. What are you, mentally ill? So let me ask you, Hollywood now, they got dueling letters, and no one's asked me to sign either one.
I'll get you on the right one.
Can someone get me on a letter here?
I'll get you on the right one.
Well, you got one group of celebrities going, hey, ceasefire. You got one group of celebrities going, hey, release the hostages.
Release the hostages. Let's talk about the hostages.
I agree with you. Let's do it.
There, now we know over 230 men, women, children, there are 30 children under the age of 16, including a 9-month-old, a 4-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 16-year-old, that were taken from their homes, taken from their parents shot in front of their faces, and taken into Gaza. It's unheard of, and Hamas needs to release them immediately. Now, there is a letter that was signed by the biggest names in Hollywood, like Katy Perry and Justin Timberlake and Madonna and Orlando Bloom and Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Rock and a lot of people, Gal Gadot and Amy Schumer and a lot of people, Jerry Seinfeld and Tiffany Haddish, and I can continue on and on.
Haddish.
I know.
I love this. I know. Tiffany Haddish.
Haddish.
Oh, boy.
She's a parent. She's Jewish.
Oh, lovely. Great.
Signed calling on the release of the hostages. We purposefully did not call for a ceasefire because you cannot expect Israel, 3 weeks after the greatest slaughter of Jewish people since the Holocaust, to all of a sudden go, oh, no, stop now.
Right.
You cannot call for it. Calling for it, it's like literally when America went after ISIS, we all agree that the world is a safer place because ISIS isn't in power anymore, right? ISIS isn't taken over like hospitals and schools in various places around the Arab world, right? Not slaughtering, beheading journalists.
Right.
But nobody was standing with a stopwatch with America and going, when are you done? Okay, ceasefire now. Nobody.
That's understood.
So no calling for a ceasefire. Israel needs to be able to do whatever the fuck it needs to do in order to solve this.
I think what the ceasefire is.
Yeah.
Is people looking at what they consider humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza.
A lot of the people that were on that letter.
Yeah. Well, they have no idea. Their publicist is going
Not just that. A lot of the people on that letter have an idea.
Okay.
And those are people that we know their names and they sign on to every anti-Israel shit that's out there.
Okay.
So we look like, oh, of course she's on it. Oh, of course he's on it. Yeah, of course. Like we know all these people are. It's not in like naming names. It's just that I've been in this work for a long time and I'm kind of like, yeah, Mark Ruffalo is always going to fucking be on the wrong side of history here. Always. Because he literally doesn't understand the region.
Well, I don't know Mark Ruffalo at all and I'm sure I disagree with him on a lot of things. I'm sure I would. You know,
I'm not naming names, but Mark Ruffalo.
Sure.
I don't even know if he signed on that letter, but
I'm sure. Is there space for someone to go, I believe Israel has a right to defend itself. And I believe Israel has a right to exist. But I feel like the military operation in Gaza will get to a point where casualty numbers will reach such a level that it will not only hurt the ultimate cause, because it will start turning Western countries against Israel, because they'll go, there are so many casualties now and such a humanitarian situation and refugees pouring into other countries. Is there a room for that person who goes, I'm cautious about the course of action that Israel's taking?
I'm cautious about the course of action. I'm the one that wants a humanitarian aid and not like people that aren't hurt to not get hurt more.
I'm the one who wants them to evacuate.
Yeah. Have you seen what they're doing with the water pipes?
They're making missiles.
Thank you.
Right. But
they're pulling the water pipes. I'm saying stuff and people are going to think that I'm crazy, but look it up. You knew this. Tim just knew this. They pull out the water pipes from the ground.
Yeah.
The water pipes that's supposed to bring water to their people and they turn them into rockets.
Right. But the 2 million civilians that are being deprived of water, that is a huge sticking point for critics of Israel going, the electricity, the internet, the water.
Absolutely. Why didn't they build their own water system, by the way? Or their own
I don't know why they didn't build their own water system.
This right now is a disaster.
I'm trying to figure out Ozempic. I don't know why. I don't even understand that. My friends, it looked better, but now like a little bit of an old witch. Here's what I'm saying.
This is again a war that Israel didn't want. This is again a war that Israel didn't want.
Right.
It's just
I think the people that are concerned about the civilians and the way that they should be concerned about the hostages. I said, if you're calling for a ceasefire, you should also be calling for the release of all hostages.
All of them, every single one of them.
100%
I'm wearing a dog tag if you want it. It says bring them home now.
I 100% agree with, I don't really wear jewelry, but I agree with the sentiment.
Yeah.
But I 110% think all hostages should be released.
Absolutely. It's just heartbreaking, and they're doing this psychological war in which they're releasing two here and one there, and it's a fucking disaster. It really is, and everybody needs to call for that.
Netanyahu, has this hurt him politically? Has this helped him? Is this neutral?
Well, it certainly didn't help him. He's the man in charge. The bottom line is this. I don't I don't think it's the time to talk politics right now.
Right.
If you read between the lines of my work in the past 20 years, you know exactly what I think, where my policies are, more or less. It's not the time. He is in charge and was in charge for the last 15 or so years.
Yeah.
So it's always the responsibility of the CEO at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But it's not the time right now to discuss this. And I'm sure these conversations are to be had.
Sure.
After Israel gets it.
People that say that Israel doesn't have a right to exist are not, in my mind, serious people. But I do know that there's a lot of them.
Watch the comments that you're going to be getting.
Oh, I'll get a lot.
You're going to get so much hate and you're going to get so much free Palestine.
But
and
we
fuck
have
Israel.
Next week we have Hezbollah is coming.
Oh, fabulous. It's
so
good.
We have we have everybody.
Yeah, that's great.
No, but I will say, listen.
My next guest.
Right. My
Khaled Mash'al, straight from Doha.
Right. Now, what about Qatar? That's interesting. You know, Qatar is this kind of, you know, somewhat westernized country that's like, go and give us a World Cup, do this, do that. And Hamas is living there in the Four Seasons.
So I prefer Ismail Haniyeh and Khaled Mash'al living in Doha than living in Tehran, honestly.
Okay.
Because there's somewhat probably a couple of other eyes on them there rather than in Tehran. They'll just be lost in fuck knows where.
Right.
I think that Qatar's role is going to be very interesting. Obviously, Qatar has been extremely involved in releasing the four hostages that were released up until now. And I can only say that I hope they play an even bigger role. I hope that the brutality of this attack shocked a lot of people in the Arab world as well. I know that to be the case because I see the reports. And I hope this realigns the region in a way that's prosperous and better for the citizens of the region. And Qatar has a big role to play here. So,
what is the solution, do you think? And I mean, this is asking you to maybe predict the future, but how do we move towards a situation in Israel with the Palestinians where we
I would like some responsible Palestinian leadership because the Palestinian leadership as a national movement need to figure out what it is that they want and what it is that they're after. They need to unite.
Is Mahmoud Abbas still involved?
Mahmoud Abbas is involved. He's the head of the PA. He's completing a 16-year term of a four-year term.
Of sentence?
No, of being in power.
Right.
There's been no elections. Yeah, you know, so he was elected for a four-year term and is completing his 16th year. But he is the more moderate, and other than being a Holocaust denier every now and then, and saying something stupid about the Holocaust, the Palestinian people, as a national movement.
So what does he say about the Holocaust? That didn't happen?
Yeah. It's a whole thing. He had a thesis about it was a whole thing.
Okay.
But they need to figure out what it is that they want. And I would like to see the American left and American progressives, instead of engaging in stupid virtue signaling, on online stupid virtue signaling activism and bashing Israel, how about holding the Palestinians accountable too? Because they think that I'm such a great social justice warrior, and I go, Israel's terrible.
Well, yeah, they don't care about social justice. They seem to care about power. You know, women are being raped. You're not hearing about that. You know, you're not hearing about the heinous crimes that Hamas committed.
It's
they
literally
seem to care
cutting,
about power.
Cutting
it's about a power
babies,
dynamic.
Cutting babies' heads is not as bad as cutting Gaza's internet. Like, people are up in arms about the internet being cut up. I'm like, there were babies that were being cut in half.
Right. I think what people are saying is, if you cut off water and you cut off electricity and you cut off internet, you have a situation where you're going to have, you know,
I understand
tens of thousands of people
it's
dying.
It's horrific, but you have to understand Israel is not responsible for the citizens of Gaza. Hamas is responsible for the citizens of Gaza.
Right, but Israel is taking certain steps to,
I don't know exactly where we're at right now. Israel's always trying to have as little amount of casualties as possible, and Hamas is trying to have as many of them as possible. I understand that people might look at it and think of me as some mouthpiece of the Israeli government. Look me up and know that it's not the case. But I'm just saying there's right or wrong in the world, and Israel and the Jewish people have a right for a tiny state.
What, in closing, and I do appreciate you kind of coming on and laying this out, because I do think that there's a lot of people that don't have a full understanding of, you know, what's going on, and they're just hearing snatches from this part one.
And especially
that one.
When social media is flooded, number one, because we're, again, 0.18% or zero, less than what.
It just seems to a lot of people
of
that
population.
Think about Gaza and they go, these people are living in a hell.
Yep.
And there are Israeli guards on standing there with guns.
Yeah.
There have been instances of young Palestinians being killed.
You know why they're guards? Yeah. Because again, I'm going to say this again, because that's historical. Like, that's what happened.
Right.
In 2005, Israel unilaterally pulled out of Gaza, handed the keys over to the Palestinians. Hamas took over Gaza in a coup d'etat, killed the Palestinians people. Palestinians literally threw them off the rooftops and dragged, like tied them into cars and drove them through the streets, took over Gaza, killed the Palestinian Authority people, and basically has been holding Gazan prisoners ever since. So free Gaza indeed, free Gaza from Hamas. It's a terrorist organization. It's the Taliban. It's as if you're saying, I support Afghan people, then I support the Taliban.
Right.
Like, those groups, those movements.
Most people that are critical of, you know, outside of the people that are just openly anti-Semitic, there are a lot of them. There's elected leaders in America that openly anti-Semitic, right?
True that.
And anti-everybody. Anti-white men, anti-this, anti-that, anti-everything. And they're very vocal about it. Everything is, you know. But there are people that are, well, it's true.
It is. I'm just laughing because you find, you know, today with how communications work, you find
a lot of the same people that when people have been saying, hey, the colleges are getting a little crazy. A lot of the liberals that are now calling that out had ignored it for years
and said
everybody was overstating it. And
everybody has the right for their opinion and everybody has the right to speak. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, but they're not speaking. They're calling for a massacre.
There are people that are genuinely anti-Semitic. There are people that say there is not a justification for the attack, but there is a context with what we can put all of these things into.
It's an excuse. It's not context, please. But Hamas is not looking...
It's not Hamas per se. It's that you have this thing. If I could think of a place to grow terrorists, it would be Gaza. If I could design a place where terrorists would become terrorists, it would be a place like Gaza. Is that not true?
Right.
Right.
And that's because they took over by force. Literally, they have been controlling that place. They're not even interested in the lives of Palestinian people. I don't know what's hard to understand here.
No.
They're just not.
For sure. But the fact that they are occupying this small sliver of Palestine.
By the way, that's a good way. That's the way to put it. Hamas is occupying Gaza. Israel's not occupying Gaza.
Right, but Israel is enforcing the
blockade.
The blockade.
And Egypt
as well.
And
preventing a lot of things from getting into Gaza, and has for a long time.
And Egypt as well, because they're terrorists. Right. So the blockade that Israel put on Gaza periodically is always put on by Egypt as well. But nobody talks about that. That there was a blockade of both these countries, one Arab, one Jewish, kind of going, Hamas is fucked and we need to contain them and we can't let them just get cement because they're building tunnels. We can't just let them get gasoline because they're stockpiling it. And they're taking the shit from their people in order to fire. Isn't it curious for people that Hamas is literally, that Gaza is running out of everything except rockets?
Well,
they keep throwing. Yeah. There was an attack on Tel Aviv today. This is the other thing that you have to understand. This thing didn't just happen on October 7th and ended. It wasn't one day. There were 8 terrorists that were caught yesterday trying to get in through the ocean. There were 4 that were trying to get through the north. And there are rockets that are being launched at Israel all the time.
You also have Hezbollah in Lebanon as well.
Yes. Still today, I'm talking to my sister and she's like, oh shit, siren. I'm like, oh my God, and she's in Tel Aviv. So this is ongoing. They haven't stopped.
Right.
But people are going to see Israel. No. Israel, ceasefire, stop. Israel, please stop. And by now we're like, we can't listen to what Israel can do no right. Okay. People are always going to have a problem with it. And by now it's like, we just better fucking do what we need to do. Because they're going to say shit anyways.
I'm just hoping that this has an end game and a you know what I mean? Because I'm speaking from experience being a citizen of a country that went on a very long, very convoluted path after 9/11 and we ended up spending a lot of money. I don't think we made anyone safer.
After 9/11, I was like, you know, young and all that, but as an Israeli, I was watching the US going into Iraq and I'm like, the fuck are you doing? It's Iran. Like, we knew that Iran is the destabilizing entity in the region. You look back at every shit that's happening in the world, every terrorist, everything, it all leads back to Iran.
How did the Mossad miss this attack?
Oh, God, nobody knows. There were so many
one of the best intelligence agencies in the world.
Mossad isn't external, though. Mossad is not technically, look, there were so
looks
many.
Looks like the CIA is technically external. Check we all know it's technically everything's external.
There was, how did the Americans miss it? How did everybody miss this? It was there was a major meltdown.
Well, I don't know if the Americans have the human intelligence on the ground that Mossad does. We have great satellites. It's
We know now. We're starting to become. We're starting to kind of break down backwards the moves that they did, and they were really good effort. Good effort, Hamas. You're not winning this one either, but good effort.
Right. Well, no, God, we don't. Nobody. I don't think nobody wants Hamas to win except AOC. She does, but no.
Did you see my face? How I didn't move?
Yeah, of course.
Try Ilhan Omar. See what my face does, or she
Listen, they don't. They don't seem to love the Jews. I mean, that's just what it is. You know. I mean, that doesn't. But she also AOC. She. You got to respect the ones that come right out and say it. AOC like pretended to be Jewish once, which I don't have a respect for. She was like, I'm like, ugh. She started Jewing it up. I did a thing about it years ago. I just come out and say what you believe. That's what I respect about you. I respect that about what Schumer's doing. Again, I'm a Long Island guy, Catholic. Didn't grow up with this around the dinner table. This was not discussed. We heard about it.
Right.
But we didn't have an intimate involvement. I had friends that went on Birthright. I have friends that are more well-versed in it. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of Muslim comedians that are talking about it. I know that there's a lot of Jewish comedians that are talking about it. I know that it's split a lot of people and it's been a very contentious thing.
If you support democracy, freedom of speech, human rights, women's rights, LGBTQ plus rights, any kind of rights that we hold dear, and you do not support Israel within the context of the Middle East, you're a fucking idiot.
I think you should support Israel within the context of the Middle East, but I also think you should support the idea that we need to eventually, you know, bring an end to the suffering the death of innocent people, and we need to somehow figure out some type of self-determination for Palestinians
100%.
And a life for them outside of Gaza, which is a training camp that grows extremism and terrorism.
I'm pro-Israeli and also pro-Palestinian, and these two things are not mutually exclusive. It's only on the American fringes that it's presented as mutually exclusive. By the way, almost all of these towns and kibbutzim on the south and the party, the Nova Party, the slaughter at the party, all these people are peace activists, pacifists, left wing.
Right.
There was an old lady that was in charge of flying kites. On the 7th of October at 4 p.m., they had this thing that they all got together and flew kites into Gaza to show them how much they love them. Like, all these people are like the lefties.
Right.
And they're now hostages and were slaughtered in Gaza. So I'm all for that. Again, Palestinian people need to be a little bit more responsible and acknowledge that Israel's there and Israel's there to stay and stop trying to slaughter the Jews because it ain't going to work.
All right. Well, Noah Tishby, where can people follow you and get your get this information?
All social medias. My best one, biggest one, is the one that I'm most active on is Instagram at Noah Tishby, and my book is available wherever.
Okay. Hopefully, we will be back on Instagram. We are suspended temporarily for doing a video saying that Pizza Hut supported Hamas. Oh my God. Noah Tishby. Well, no, it was just
I'm not a big pizza fan anyways, but
down. Get that. Put Pizza Hut on the list. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate it, of course.
Thank you.